by the former candidate himself. Paul Sorum contacted me and said that there was an issue when it came to the election of Governor Jack Dalrymple in North Dakota, and that the issue is going to find its way into the court system. And I said, well, if it does, give me a call. Well, it did, and he called me. And I said, well, come on and explain it to people. Paul Sorum, you ran for the Republican endorsement. You didn't get that. Then you ran as an independent for governor of North Dakota against Jack Dalrymple. What is this lawsuit all about?
Joel, how are you?
Doing well.
Good. Well, what happened in the 2012 election for governor is that, Roland Reimers, a Libertarian candidate for governor, was taken off the ballot after the primary because he didn't list a lieutenant governor candidate on his nominating certificate. So the Secretary of State went to the Attorney General, who gave an opinion, was a very thorough opinion, that said this is an essential part of the election, and therefore, even after the primary, he should be taken off the ballot because we have a law in North Dakota and the Constitution of North Dakota that says for governor or lieutenant governor, it's a joint ballot. Well, without a lieutenant governor listed on his nominating certificate, he shouldn't have been certified for the ballot. And therefore, he was taken off. And what I found out when Roland Reimers appealed this decision to the state Supreme Court, I found out at that hearing, which was on Election Day, ironically, that Governor Dalrymple and Mr. Taylor both made the same mistake. They didn't have a lieutenant governor candidate listed on their nominating certificate. So this is the problem. So being one of the candidates on the ballot in November, I'm uniquely qualified or have standing, they say, to bring this case. And all I'm doing is asking the court to force Mr. Yeager and Mr. Dalrymple to follow the law. And if they did, they wouldn't have been certified, Dalrymple and Taylor wouldn't have been certified for the ballot, and then they'd be taken off the ballot retroactively, just as Reimers was. Well, that's what the case is about.
So what you're saying is the very same rule that applied to Roland Reimers that got him kicked off of the ballot, the current governor and his opposition on the Democratic side, neither one followed the same rule that got Roland kicked off.
And, that's right.
And because of that, the next highest vote getter after those two was you. Wouldn't if you win in court, doesn't that make you governor then?
Well, that's not specifically what my remedy is, but it's very likely to happen that way, yes.
So who's representing you in this, Paul?
I'm representing myself.
Okay.
So and I wrote the petition to the court. I written my response, and it took a lot of work and a lot of study, but I think I put together some pretty good documents, basically using Mr. Yeager and the Attorney General's own testimony in the Reimers case. And now they're claiming that this isn't an essential part of the election. And they're claiming, for the Attorney General's office, Mr. Barr is claiming that, well, look, Mr. Dalrymple used the nominating form that was issued to him, and therefore he's innocent, even though they admit violating these laws.
Okay, I want to go a step further in that, though. Because have you spoke to Governor Dalrymple about this? Have you spoke to representatives of his or the Attorney General? What case are they making against your case?
Well, they're contradicting their own arguments and the Attorney General's opinion in Reimers' case. And it's a very large contradiction. They're claiming that they're using the form issued to them, and therefore it's not their fault. However, the executive branch, specifically the governor and the secretary of state, are responsible for authorizing and issue those forms. So, look, ignorance isn't an excuse. That's deeply embedded in our legal system since we've become a country, and that's what they're claiming. Hey, we didn't know, And now they're saying, instead of saying it's an essential part of our election that we follow this law that requires a joint ballot, now they're saying it's just a technical noncompliance. So they're completely flip-flopping on their arguments that they used in the Reimers case to get the Libertarian Party off the ballot in the gubernatorial election.
So
it's very stunning.
So as you make this case, if I take a step back, I say, okay, Jack Dalrymple is deemed to have not done his paperwork, he gets treated the same way Reimers did. You're gone. Ryan Taylor didn't do his homework, didn't do his paperwork right. He's kicked out. Paul Sorum, that makes you governor. If in fact I'm a judge and I rule this way, because you have to go back to that election and you were the next vote getter, does it matter to you at all, Paul, that you came in a very distant third and that you weren't the candidate that the people of North Dakota wanted, or is it really just the legal argument of it?
Well, it doesn't really, that really doesn't make a difference because, you know, I looked in a lot of case histories and every time there was a candidate for office, whether it's a state level or, you know, whether it's at a county level or whatever level it is, whatever state it is, whatever court it is, the judge has always ruled in strictly enforcing the laws that require, you know, candidate signatures on either a nominating petition or a certificate of candidacy. Anytime they didn't meet that requirement, the court has strictly enforced that state law. And so, therefore, I kept thinking about this before I filed the case, and I thought, look, if the governor or an incumbent is not required to follow our election laws, why bother having elections? And that's what really got me, you know?
Then let me ask the question in a different way. Let me ask the question this way. Would you feel as though North Dakotans wanted you to be governor if you win this court case?
Well, again, you know, I think people need to decide whether or not, you know, they want law and order in the state of North Dakota. That's the question here. It's not a matter of whether I feel people want me to be governor because there's an election coming. They could vote me out if that's the case. But on the other hand, we need law and order. And if they didn't qualify to be on the ballot and they applied this law to an opponent but not themselves, it's not right. It just isn't right.
Paul, your expertise in the way you do business is structural design. You're not an attorney. If the case is that strong, why couldn't you engage an attorney who said, I want to make a right here? And or is this about money?
Well, I don't have the funds to do so. And it's very hard to get a lawyer to do that because when you go up against the governor, a licensed attorney risks losing their career. And that's just the fact. They didn't want to take the risk of going up against the governor, even though most people I talked to about the case felt I was right legally. It's just incredibly difficult to get a licensed attorney to take such a case. And there was a cost issue. I didn't have the money for it, but here's my point about that is, you know, the election laws are written in simple English. You know, you don't have to know Latin or anything like that to understand what the laws are. And what I'm asking the court to do is simply issue what's called a writ of mandamus, which simply directs the Secretary of State and Attorney General to follow the law with respect to our election. That's all it is. It's not a complicated issue.
Okay, so is now where are we at in this process? Has the court agreed to hear the case?
Yes, of course.
And were there efforts to get the case thrown out prior to the court agreeing to hear the case?
I brought the case initially in January of 2013 to the state Supreme Court because based on original jurisdiction, in other words, if powers reserved to the people, such as political power is usurped by someone in office, they call it original jurisdiction. In other words, it's so vital to our sense of law and order in our justice system, you go right to the Supreme Court with your case, which I did, and I was denied access to the court, which I thought was a questionable outcome, but it was a major setback, and then, you know, it took me quite a while to basically rewrite the petition to the court and submit it. I submitted it last September, and they ended up making a motion to dismiss it because, you know, I didn't serve the state personally. You know, in other words, notify them of the case in the official way. I didn't feel that was right because I'm not suing the state. I'm asking the court to compel office holders to follow law. So they dismissed it, and then I resubmitted it again. And so finally, I have a hearing date now on next Monday. It's at 8:30 at the Morton County Courthouse.
Interesting. Very
been a long process.
Yeah, I can tell. I want to get David on with you. He called either as a question or comment. David, you're on with Paul Sorum.
Hey, Joel. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks, Paul. Paul, I think, you know, I lean very strongly libertarian, but I actually don't think you have a case from what I understand. And that's simply the fact that, if I'm correct, both the Democratic and Republican candidates had running mates. When the Libertarian candidate, you know, signed his form, he actually did not have a running mate, and that was why he was disqualified.
No.
Am I correct there?
Actually, if you talk to the Libertarian candidate, actually he did have a running mate. However, the certificate of the nominating certificate didn't have his name. The other paperwork, there was one or two things his lieutenant governor candidate didn't sign. But he did have a running mate. So,
and you're saying, and thank you, David. And you're saying that the Republican and Democratic candidates had their paperwork done the same way.
Basically, they had two separate nominating certificates, one for the governor and one for the lieutenant governor. And the state law mandates that the nominating certificate include the names and other information for the governor and the lieutenant governor on one form. And if you read the Reimers case, this is exactly what the attorney general said in his opinion that was used to keep him off the ballot, that is an essential part of the election, should be enforced at all times, except when it applies to the incumbent, I guess.
So who are you up against now? Who's going to be sitting in that table across from you in that courtroom as you go in there and make your argument?
Well, Douglas Barr, who's an attorney for the attorney general's office, he is the solicitor general for the state, so he'll be opposed to me.
Okay. Paul, I want to follow it. One thing about you, Paul, you're never boring. You are never boring. thanks for coming on and at least explaining it to me in a way that I can understand what you're up to. So
it's my pleasure, Joel, anytime.
Appreciate it. Paul Sorum, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think of that? You know, I can tell you what the old referee in me says. I'm not a big Rollin Reimers fan, but if they threw him off the ballot because of it, and he you know, this was the way the rules were for him, the rules are the same way for everybody. I'm sorry, but rules are rules. And if the election says you have to do this in a certain way to get your name on the ballot, I'm sorry, Paul's got my attention. And it doesn't make my party look any better either. You know, if Ryan Taylor, I shouldn't say Ryan, but however it was filled out, I think it's interesting.